Now we're all set. Okay, last week, we went over the history. The first year, we talked about the conflict between between ritual Judaism and ethical Judaism and how that comes to a front. Last week, we went more into the time, did the temple. And on the first sheet, I simply have a review of the years, because you have to understand the years to follow what's going to happen today. There's three kings during the time of Yirmiyahu, three major kings. One is Yoshiyahu, who was a good king. The tremendous tshuva, that was last week's share. In the 18th year, when they renovate the temple, they find the Sefer Torah, they make a whole new covenant, they make a whole big Pesach. And there was a feeling that this is redemption, everything is great. And things are very good, but tragically dies in the Battle of Megiddo. And we talked about last week how there's too much there's a lot of nationalism, a lot of return to Judaism, but what we saw last week is that the return to Judaism in the time of Yoshiyahu, the return to repentance, was also part of the big movement of nationalism. Ashur had fallen, and they were thinking things were getting better. And therefore, there's a very big act of nationalism, on return to religion, and renovating the temple. But if you look at the rebuke of Yirmiyahu in his early chapters, he talks about how the people really aren't that much better in among each other, in their day-to-day behavior. After Yoshiyahu died, Yoyakim takes over after a little coup d'etat, and he aligns himself with Egypt. Egypt puts him into power, and he's very anti-Yirmiyahu. He's very angry with what happened to his father. He returns to the sins of Menashe. Basically, they doesn't care that much. The temple keeps its service, but he's really not that serious about his serving God. And because of all that, we saw last week, Yirmiyahu comes and says in year 4, you're not doing tshuva like I expected, and therefore Babel is going to come and take over, not just Israel, the whole Middle East. He rebels against the Nebuchadnezzar anyhow, and then year 11, Nebuchadnezzar comes in and defeats Yerushalayim. Yoachim himself dies. His son Yoachim is king for a couple months and is sent to exile by Nebuchadnezzar. Zedekiah is appointed king afterwards by the king of Babel. He's supposed to be subservient to Babel, and after 4 years, we're going to see he begins his rebellion, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Okay. So, in the first page, I just simply brought Vayivah Hashem Elayi L'mor, B'tzeh Metzacham B'Betem. Yidaticha, means before you were born, I had you already in mind, I had a job for you. U'B'tzeh Metzim Rechem Hitashticha, I appointed you before you were born. Navid L'goyim Nesaticha. Yirmiyahu is being appointed not only to give rebuke to the people of Israel, but also to the other nations. And there's two ways of understanding what it means that Yirmiyahu is a Navid L'goyim. Either God wants Yirmiyahu to talk to those goyim, and it's his job not only to rebuke the people of Israel, but also to rebuke the other nations. Or it could be that Yirmiyahu's job, his whole job, is to rebuke the people of Israel and to tell them what's going to be. But part of his message will be relate to what's happening to the nations around. It's not that he's not a prophet to those nations, but rather, and Yirmiyahu perakal pasuk dalet, reading from. What Yirmiyahu is saying, what God is telling Yirmiyahu, I'm appointing you primarily to the people of Israel, but you're not only going to talk about what's happening with the people of Israel, you're going to be involved in what's happening with international events. We're going to see how important that's going to be in today's share. Now, we ended up last week's share with the Gzar Din, with the decree of 70 years. And the main point we made last week was when Yirmiyahu says there's going to be 70 years of punishment, most people think he's predicting 7 years of exile or 70 years of destruction of the temple. And we proved last week that Yirmiyahu was talking about 7 years of Babylonian sovereignty. And therefore, these 70 years begin in Pasuk Aleph and Perek Chaf, the fourth year of Yehoiakim, which is year one of Nebuchadnezzar. That's when the 7 years begin. And Yirmiyahu was telling that because I've warned you over and over again for the last 20-some years about improving your ways, we said in Pasuk Hey, Shuvu na ish mitar kol ra'am, mivaram al-lechem, u'shvel adama, I've warned you the only way you can stay in your land and keep the mikdash and keep your country and your sovereignty is if you do proper repentance, act properly among each other, not just pray to me and kabbalah, but also your social behavior, and you didn't listen. Therefore, I'm telling you, you don't keep seem to get the message. You only way you can retain your land, or if you want to fight them, out you go. And that's his message to all the nations. Now, that wasn't crystal clear in Perek Chafei. What I have to prove to you today from Perek Chafzayin, that's exactly what he's saying. And so we're going to begin with Perek Chafzayin, and what I titled here in section C, there's an option to accept Bavel and stay in your land, or if you want to fight Bavel, you're going to be exiled. Before we read it inside, I want to explain why this fits to the title of the whole of our whole series. The series, when religion and politics clash, that's because Yirmiyahu's message is a religious one. He's telling the people, you are not serving God the way God expects you. You're not being the model nation I expected you to be. You don't seem to get that message. I have to do something severe to punish you. The punishment for your poor behavior is your loss of sovereignty to Bavel, and I'm using Bavel as my whip to punish you, which is a simply nice religious message. The problem is that message is being interpreted by the people not as a religious one, but rather as a political one, because there's going to be a whole movement of the nation to fight against Bavel, and all they see Yirmiyahu is not as a prophet telling the people to be better. Yirmiyahu is a politician, pro-Babylonian, against the revolt, we call it now, nowadays a left winger, against the revolt against Bavel, and he's using religion as an excuse for his political agenda. I want to show you that now in Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin. We're going to read it, and in a minute I'm going to ask you, I'm going to read the first couple of psukim, and as I'm reading, I want you, if someone notices a phrase or two that sounds very familiar from somewhere else in Chumash, I want you to interrupt the share and either chat or say so. Okay. Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph, Breshit Memlechet Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yehuda, early in the reign of Yehoyakim, who succeeded Yoshiyahu, Hayah Devar Hazeh Yirmiyahu Meit Hashem Nemor. This was what God told Yirmiyahu. Kol Ma Hashem Elai, Aseh Lecha Mosirot Umotot Umtantamot Avarecha. I want you to basically take a yoke. Yirmiyahu, I meant to bring the yoke with me here today. Here we go. Got something here. Pretend that this is a yoke. Yirmiyahu is told to take a yoke and also reins. But if you take a ox and you plow a field, you have to put a yoke over its head, and then you take like reins, like a rope, a rod, and you connect it, and with that you plow the field. But when you're plowing your field with an ox, in essence, the yoke means that the person holding the yoke is in charge of the ox. And therefore, that's telling Yirmiyahu, I want you to take a yoke and its reins, etc., put them over your neck, and that way of symbolizing, God's telling the people of Israel to accept the yoke of Melech Bavel. Now, Pasuk Gimel is very interesting. Now God tells Yirmiyahu, not just to you to take those, you're supposed to send a little yoke to a meeting that's taking place in Yerushalayim. What's going to happen in Pasuk Gimel, and because it's only a short shiur, I can't explain why, we're going to jump 10 years. We're going to jump from the reign of Yehoyakim to the reign of Tzidkiyahu, and we're going to see that this prophecy was given more than once. This prophecy was given first in the time of Yehoyakim, and it's repeated again in the time of Tzidkiyahu. And when it's being repeated, God's telling Yirmiyahu to take this yoke and take a whole bunch of yokes, and give them out at a political meeting that's taking place in Yerushalayim. We're going to see in a minute that in Yerushalayim, all the foreign ministers of the main nations of the Middle East around Israel are meeting to plan a revolt. Look at Pasuk Gimel and look at the United Nations here at this meeting, or this coalition. Pasuk Gimel. V'shilachtam emelech Edom, v'melech Moab, v'melech Bnei Amon, v'melech Tzor, v'melech Sidon, v'yad ha-malachim abayim Yerushalayim v'tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda. Tzidkiyahu is running a meeting. Soon we're going to see later on, this is year 4 of Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu is having a private meeting with foreign ministers and ambassadors from four or five different nations, Edom, Moab, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Sidon, the little part, basically the main city, the main countries of the Middle East. And they're meeting in Yerushalayim, and you can guess what they're meeting about. They're meeting to organize in a revolt against Babel. Remember, Babel was only in power for a couple of years. And they were a dark horse. There was big hope, especially with the help of Egypt, to be able to kick them out. And Yirmiyahu sends this message to all these foreign ministers, and he tells them as follows. Pasuk Dalad. Command them their master saying, Here says God, go tell your masters, I'm the God who made the heavens and the earth, I'm the creator, I'm the God of Perek Aleph and Bereshit, basically, okay? And it's my globe, it's my universe, and I give the land to whoever I want. I give it to whoever I feel fit. Pasuk Vav.
Tikkim are reminiscent of Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
Which ones are Yitzhak Mitzrayim? In Pasuk Hay?
Well, like it says, Bizroi Hanituya. Kochi Hagadol Bizroi Hanituya.
Which one? Okay, Bizroi Hanituya, Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Very good. That's true. Actually, he's mixing together Sefer Bereshit and Sefer Shemot together beautifully. But does anyone remember where this pasuk is quoted? You all know it, and you're going to kick yourselves if you don't remember. Who remembers where this is quoted? I'll quote again, okay? Anochi esiti et haaretz ve et adam ve et habehema, bekochi hagadol ubezroi hanituya, unetati lasher yashar beinai. Anyone remember? Yeah, Bert? Oh. I'll give you a little hint. I guess you want a hint already.
Rashi quotes it at the beginning of Bereshit.
Remember the first Rashi in Chumash? There we go. Okay. Got it. Okay. Exactly. The first Rashi in Chumash. Now, why is Rashi quoted? Rashi is bothered by the question of why does Chumash begin with Bereshit? It should begin with Ha'chodesh Ezelechem, Rosh Chodeshim. It should begin with Sefer Shemot and Parshat Bo. But the first mitzvah. Basically, Rashi's question is, why does Chumash begin with the story? It should be a Shulchan Aruch. It should be a halacha book. So Rashi's often misunderstood. It's saying, Chumash begins with Bereshit so that we know the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people. Rashi says exactly the opposite. Rashi's saying, Sefer Bereshit begins with the story of creation to let us know that the land of Israel belongs to God, and God gives it to whoever is worthy. Because look at the next line now in Yirmiyahu. Pasuk Vav. Vata, Anochi natati et kol ha'artzot ha'ela b'Nebuchadnezzar melech b'Avdi. Okay? Understand? And now I'm giving this land to Nebuchadnezzar. The pasuk that Rashi quotes, that the Rav Yitzchak quotes, that Rashi's quoting the Medrash from Rav Yitzchak, the pasuk that he quotes is a pasuk where it says God taking away the land from the people of Israel and giving it to Melech Bavel. Why? Because we weren't worthy. And for the same reason he takes it away from Canaan and gives it to us in Chumash, for a very similar reason, he can take away from us and give it to somebody else. What Rashi is saying in the beginning of Chumash, which is exactly the same theme of Yirmiyahu, and I think that Medrash that Rashi quotes assumes that the reader is very familiar with Yirmiyahu, knows exactly why he's quoting that pasuk, is that the reason why Chumash begins with Sefer Bereshit is to let us know this land doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. God gives it to us as a vehicle through which we fulfill our destiny, but we have to be worthy of the land. And the land is there. The land is super important. The land is the land set aside by God where we fulfill our national destiny on our covenant with God. But it's only ours on the condition that we use it properly. And if we don't use it properly, the land will kick us out. That's a theme from cover to cover in Chumash. All the Sechachot talk about it. And when you understand what's happening here in Yirmiyahu, you very much appreciate why Rashi quotes it in the beginning of Sefer Bereshit. That's a little aside. Now we'll get back to our topic. Now we're back to Pasuk Zayin. This is the message that Yirmiyahu is telling all the foreign ministers to tell their bosses, their kings. Okay. That God's giving all these lands under Babel. For the next 70 years, Nebuchadnezzar, his son and his grandson, there'll be Ebal Merodach and Belshazzar, they're going to worship, they're going to control all the lands of the Middle East. Now, Pasuk Chet. V'ayah goy v'amamacha asher lo yavdu oto et Nebuchadnezzar melech bavel v'tasher lo yitein et tavro bo melech bavel v'cher v'vra v'deber et korah goy hu numashem. Any nation who doesn't put their head, their yoke under melech bavel, they're going to be destroyed. It's quite clear what he's saying. Now, listen carefully now in Pasuk Tet, where all the politics begin. Yirmiyahu tells them as follows, V'atem, you, all the foreign ministers, Al tishmu nevi'echem ve'al kosmechem ve'al chalamotechem ve'al nonechem ve'al kshatechem asher ma'omrim nechem ve'lechem lo tabdu et melech bavel. All your advisors, he gives a whole list of every type of advisor you have. You have rabbis, you have teachers, you have magicians, you have astrologists, you have magicians. Remember whenever there's a TV show, that's a real class when my cell phone went off. Statistician, they ask an historian, they ask an astrologist. Same thing. All the different advisors who wonder what's going to be, they're all telling him, everyone has the same opinion, we can fight Babel. That's the feeling not only in Israel, that's the feeling in the whole Middle East. That we can fight Babel and we can do it. He says, don't listen to them. They're making it up in order to make you leave your land. Now, this is Pasuk Aleph, where it's highlighted. Any nation who puts his head into the yoke of Melech Bavel, he can stay in his land, and he can live there, and he won't have to go into exile. Now, what wasn't clear in Perach HaFeh, now it's crystal clear in Perach HaZayin. People have the choice, either put up a white flag to Bavel, and you can remain, or if you don't put up a white flag to Melech Bavel, now, if you think that was just a message to the other nations, listen how it's cleared out specifically to Tzidkiel. Pasuk Yudet. So Tzidkiel Melech Yudah Dibarti Kolefem Eile Lemor Hevi Otzabrechem Bo Melech Bavel. I told it to Tzidkiel, put your neck under the yoke of Melech Bavel and serve him. Lama Tamutu, why should you die? It doesn't take any nation who's not going to do it. Pasuk Yudalad. Al Tishmo Dibrim Alechem Lemor Lo Tabdut Melech Bavel. Don't listen to all your prophets. Now we're talking about God's prophets. These are the rabbis in the temple. Okay? There's all these rabbis in the temple staying in God's name, and legitimate rabbis. And they're staying in God's name, they're making up prophecies and saying, God said, fight Bavel. God says to rebel and don't accept Bavel. And they say, Yirmiyahu is lying. He says, Yirmiyahu says, they're all lying. God says, I never sent them. They're saying things in my name falsely. It's not just Sumerim, now it's also the rabbis. Pasuk Tzayim, the lakonim, the kolam as a dibati lemor. Kol Hashem, al tishmo divrei anavichem anibim lachem lemor. They rebel against hell. They're giving prophecies of hope. They're saying not only that it's good to rebel, they're saying Bavel's going to fall. In a very short time, the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash were taken out with the exile of Yoyachin. 4 years. I want you to appreciate the picture of what's happening. We'll see it in the next parak in a minute. There's this euphoria among the people that the worst is over. The bell in a year or two is going to fall. Exiles who were sent already. The first wave of exile that went out with Yehoiachin is coming back. They're taken by Nebuchadnezzar in the first wave of exile. They're coming back, and everything's going to be great again. All the people have to do, there's this great of them. Al tishmu alehem, ibdu et melech vavel v'chiu. Right? Don't listen to them. Now you see exactly where politics and religion clash? That's exactly the title. What's happening in Yerushalayim, in the Mikdash, all the entire established rabbinate, right? All the prophets, all the priests, right? Everyone has the same opinion. What God wants us to do is to fight Bavel. They're so sure that they're right, they're saying God said so, even though God never. And when Yirmiyahu give in to Melech Bavel, what they do, they just say, Yirmiyahu is lying, he's making it up. They brand him as a leftist, and no one listens to him. This is what Yirmiyahu tells him also in Pasuk Yechet. Im divim him, if they're really prophets, im yesh tavar shem itam, if they're really speaking God's word, what should they be saying? Yifkud, they should pray to God instead. that the remaining kelim of the Beit HaMikdash won't be going to Bavel. Okay? Because God tells them, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Kichol Ma'ar Hashem Tzvot Elei Yisrael, Ala Kelim HaMatur Beit Hashem. Okay? What God's saying, what's going to happen to the Beit HaMikdash? Bavel Yavol V'Sham Yu. Don't think that the kelim that were sent out by Nebuchadnezzar in the first wave of exile are coming back soon. The opposite is going to happen if you continue to rebel. The kelim in the Beit HaMikdash that remain are going to go to Bavel. The Gemara in Ketubot quotes this pasuk, and the famous line where it says you're not supposed to make aliyah, quotes this pasuk, and then the Gemara asks the question, it's talking about kelim and not about people, but anyone knows the Gemara in Ketubot is probably familiar with that. That's the background. Now it's going to get really hot. In Perek Chavchet, we're going to find out when this took place, and we're going to see how this argument gets into something, basically a national fiasco. Perek Chavchet in Yirmiyo, Pasuk Aleph. Vayi b'shana hahi, that year, the year that Yirmiyo sent his yoke to all the emissaries coming to Yerushalayim, the year that they're planning the revolt in Jerusalem against Bavel. In the beginning. The reign of Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda, v'shana harevi'it v'chodesh hachamishi, the fourth year of the reign of Tzidkiyahu. Amar lechanan ben Azur hanavi asher migivon v'beit Hashem l'nei kohanim b'chol ha'am. There's going to be a showdown now in the Beit HaMikdash. Remember, they're in the Beit HaMikdash, the neck into the yoke of Bavel, to give into Bavel. That's what all the prophets are saying, that's all the rabbis are saying, that's all the priests are saying, that's all the in the Beit HaMikdash. His name is Hanania ben Azur. He's a Navi and a Kohen, a colleague of okay? And they're going to have a big argument in the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Bet. Kol Ma Hashem Tzvot Elei Yisrael. This is what Hanania ben Azur is saying in God's name. Shavarti Et Om Melech Bavel. What's he saying? He's saying in God's name, I'm breaking the yoke of Bavel. And he's relating to what Yirmiyahu is saying. Yirmiyahu is saying, put on the yoke of Bavel. Hanania ben Azur is saying, is God's broken the yoke of Bavel. And now he makes a prediction. Pasuk Gimel. Ba'ok shnatan yamim. 2 more years. Ani mishiv el ha-makom hazeh ve'okok klei beit Hashem asher lakak nevuchnet ha-melech bavel din ha-makom hazeh ve'yivim bavel. Does anyone else have a problem of noise cutting out? It could be if the noise isn't coming, if it sounds not coming clear in some of them, it might be because of a weak rate of internet connection. Okay. All right, I'll continue. Yirmiyahu is saying as follows. Okay. Yirmiyahu is saying as follows. I'm sorry. Hananiah ben Azur is standing up in the Beit HaMikdash and making the following prediction. He's saying in God's name, I'm breaking the yoke of Bavel. In 2 more years, ani mishiv al ha-makom hazeh kol klei beit Hashem asher lakach nevuchnet ha-melech Bavel min ha-makom hazeh ve'yivim Bavel. I'm returning. All the kingdom of the Beit HaMikdash are coming back to Bavel. Remember, this year is going to be really important in a minute. Now we have the kingdom coming back. V'tichonia ben Yehoyakim melech Yehuda v'kol galut Yehuda ba'im Bavel ani mishiv al ha-makom hazeh. The king is coming back. Derech Yehoyakim was exiled. He's coming back. And all the exiles are coming back. He's making prediction, and guess who's cheering? Everyone's cheering on Hanania ben Azur. Pasuk Hey. Vayomer Yirmiyahu Navi, Hanania Navi. Yirmiyahu now is going to challenge him. Leinei Kohanim, Leinei Kol Ha'am, Omdim B'Beit Hashem. Listen now sarcastically. Remember, Hanania ben Azur, Yirmiyahu is saying, put your neck into the yoke. 70 more years they're in charge. Hananiah ben Azur is saying, in 2 more years they're out of here. And God's going to break the yoke much sooner than everybody thinks. Okay. Listen to what Yirmiyahu says. Pasuk Tavi. Amen. Ken yaseh Hashem. He's saying it sarcastically. He says, Haravai, you were right. I wish you were right. Yekem Hashem et Baracha. God should keep what you're saying. Ashuni beit Hashem klei beit Hashem b'chol ha-golam b'bavel ha-makom hazeh. Haravai was true that God was bringing back all the kelim. Then he goes on, I'm just dot, you can see it in Tanakh later on. He's saying, you're putting your career on the limb. Why? Because a Navi who makes a prediction that something good's going to happen, and it doesn't happen, we know he's a Navi Sheker. And Yirmiyahu's telling him, you're proving yourself as a Navi Sheker. Hanani takes that as an insult, but Hananiah Navi, Etamota, Mount Sabar Yirmiyahu Navi. Hanani takes the yoke and the rod that's on Yirmiyahu that he was wearing, Vish Bereyu. In public, he takes it off Yirmiyahu's head and he breaks it in public. And then he says, Hanani, see what happens in the Beit HaMikdash. A big argument between two big rabbis, two known in the Beit HaMikdash, both were arguing over what to do with Bavel, fight or not fight. Then Azor takes the yoke, symbolizing giving it to Bavel, breaks it in public, the kingdom coming back. Yirmiyahu has nothing to do. How can he argue? Everyone's cheering. No one wants to listen to Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu goes home. God tells Yirmiyahu later on, which I didn't quote here, but you can look in your time. I thought, this time, don't make it out of wood this time. But it's not going to help. I want to show you something which is amazing now. What we just noticed was there's this movement. There's this movement going on in Yerushalayim. And we're going to see later on, you have a very similar happening in Bavel, where the people are very sure or convinced that Bavel's days are numbered, and in a short time, the Kelim are coming back, the vessels are coming back, and the exiles are coming back. That's what they think in Bavel, and that's what they think in Yerushalayim. If you remember, this meeting takes place in the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu, which is 4 or 5 years after the exile of Yehoyachin. That's when they're planning it. Look at the first line of Sefer Yechezkel. Everyone knows the first chapter in Yechezkel. We read it this morning. No one understands it, but everyone knows what happened. Yechezkel sees the vision of the Shekhinah. He sees what's called the Maser Kava. Yechezkel sees the vision of the chariots, not just the chariots. He's what's called Maser Kava. He sees the vision of God. And now he sees it leaving Yerushalayim and landing in Bavel. And what's the meaning of that? The meaning of that is obvious. The meaning of that is God's leaving his city and not going away, but going to Bavel for safekeeping to return after the 7 years are over. But what year did Yechezkel begin his prophecy? Take a look. Yechezkel Perek Aleph. Vayiv v'shloshim shana. Year 30. If you do a calculation, it's 30 years since they made the covenant when they found the Sefer Torah in the 18th year of Yoshio. You can do that calculation later on. In the fourth month, the fifth day of the fourth month, Vayiv v'toch ha-gola on har kvar. The skies opened up. Remember that? That's why we read this on Shavuot. The skies opened up, and I saw a vision of God. Now we get the date in Pasuk Bet. On the fifth of the month, 5 years after the exile of Yehoyachin, which is either year 4 or 5 of Tzidkiyahu, the same time as Terach Chavchet and Yirmiyahu, Chavzayin and Chavchet and Yirmiyahu, the same year when Hanani ben Azur is breaking the Motot of Yirmiyahu. God gives a vision to Yechezkel ben Buzi, the coin in Eretz Kazdim, and the Erev in Ebrach Sarabah Minas Tafon. Then the famous vision goes on. We're not going to read it now. We'll say that for Shavuot morning. We have that famous vision where he sees God leaving. Do you understand what the meaning of that is? In essence, what's the chiddush of Yechezkel? Yechezkel doesn't have his vision in year 1. He doesn't have it in year 11. When did the Shekhinah leave Yerushalayim? It leaves Yerushalayim in year 4. Year 4 and in year 5. Why in year 5? Because had Am Yisrael listened to Yirmiyahu, had they accepted the yoke of Elaphazel, had they not revolted, the Beit HaMikdash could have remained. The Shekhinah could have remained in Yerushalayim. The remaining didn't have to leave. There could have been a presence in Yerushalayim, and all they had to do was, like, Tzidkiyahu's name should have been. All they do is tzedek u'mishpat. Give up your sovereignty and simply focus on your core values for 70 years. Had Am Yisrael accepted that message, the Shekhinah didn't have to leave. What causes the Shekhinah to leave Yerushalayim? What's going to be the reason, right, for God deciding, I'm leaving, I can't dwell there anymore, I can't take these people? They don't get Yirmiyahu's message. And the same year that they begin the revolt against Bavel, God's saying, I'm leaving. Now notice, what are all the prophets saying? All the other prophets are saying the Kelim are coming from Bavel to Yerushalayim. They see traffic moving from Babylon, from Bavel, to Yerushalayim. What do Yechezkel see? he sees the Shekhinah leaving Yerushalayim and going to Babel. It's exact opposite messages. Now, if you know your Yechezkel, you can look it up later on. Yechezkel's Nevuot are in year 5 of Yechezkel. Year 5 of Tzidkiel, year 5 of the Galut. That's the first seven parakim. From Perek Chet to Perek Chaf to Perek Yotet, the most of them, are in year 6, the next year. And then Perek Chaf is going to be in year 7. Meaning, year 5, 6, and 7, those two, three years, we have 95% of Yechezkel's prophecy, where he sees, if you know Yechezkel, anyone ever read Yechezkel, most of it, he has these visions, what's happening in Yerushalayim, and what's going to be, and what where they're sitting are, and the fact that God's leaving, and how God leaves, and why he's taking Shekhinah away. Those visions of God leaving Yerushalayim and landing in Babel coincide with the exact same 2 years that all the prophets are predicting that the Shekhinah, that the kingdom are coming back. And Yechezkel's message, specifically in those years, is to counter what all the other prophets and rabbis are saying, that the worst is over and Babel is coming back. But I want to show you, when you understand Yirmiyahu Perachat Zayin Chatchet, now you understand what's happening in Yirmiyahu, you understand exactly what's happening in Yechezkel. The years are super important. I'm trying to show you, when you understand what's happening historically, you can begin to appreciate much more in detail the content of the various Nevuot. Next week we'll see other Nevuot in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel that relate to this topic. I want to conclude today, because it's a week before before Purim, of what's supposed to happen after the 70 years are over. In Yirmiyahu Perachatet, we have the opposite problem. Now that Yirmiyahu sent a letter in Perachatet, see Pasuk Aleph, we're the next page on F. So it'll take me 10 minutes, don't worry. when you say you're concluding, it means at least 10 minutes to go. This is a letter. Yirmiyahu doesn't only talk to the people in Yerushalayim. He sends a letter to Babel, because the people in Babel don't want unpacked. Right? They're living out of suitcases. They're not building houses. They're not getting married. They're saying, and all the rabbis are telling them, right, it's not going to happen. In a year or two, you're coming back. He sends a letter to Babel. Listen, stick to Pasuk Dalet. This is what God's message to the people in Babel. This is the only prophecy of Yirmiyahu that Am Yisrael has kept. And has been makbid on this for 2,000 years. You'll see why. Okay. This is what Yirmiyahu tells the people in Babel. Build houses, settle down. Plant orchards and trees. Eat the fruit, that's going to take a couple years. Get married, have children. Give your grandchildren. Marry off your children. Have lots of children. Don't limit yourself. Multiply there. Also, make sure there's peace in the city. Take care of your needs within the city that I sent you to. Basically, settle down in Galut. You're there for a long haul. Don't think you're there just for a year or two. You're there for the next 70 years. Now, you say, the only time they didn't listen to Yirmiyahu then, we've been listening to this Nevuah of Yirmiyahu for 2,000 years. That was supposed to be a little, Am Yisrael continues to live in Galut, and after Yirmiyahu, but that's a different topic. Listen to Pasachet. Kichom HaShem Tzvot Elohei Yisrael, Ayashiu Lachem Nevi'echem Asher Bekerbechem. Don't let them mislead you. Right? Don't let your prophets mislead you, and your dreamers, and your magicians, and all your astrologists, and all your advisors. Don't listen to their dreams. Okay? They're lying. They're saying things in my name I never said. Yirmiyahu has such a difficulty with these rabbis who are saying things in God's name he never said. Now, why are the rabbis doing that? They're so sure that there's right and Yirmiyahu's wrong. They feel sorry for the people. They have to say in God's name to come to Yirmiyahu. They know they're lying, but they're sure they're doing the right thing. This, and the next show we'll talk about the false prophets and the fight between Yirmiyahu and them in a more specifically. Pasuk Yud. Kichom HaShem Tzvot, ki lefi melot bebavel shirim shana, et kodatem. After 7 years, I'm going to bring you back. V'kimoti alechem et dvari atzov, lashiv etchem l'amakom hazeh. Then it's time to return. I'm doing it for your own good, he says in Pasuk Yud Aleph. What's supposed to happen after 7 years? Pasuk Yud Bet. Ukratem oti v'lachtem, you should call for me, then you'll come. V'tbalavtem elai, v'shamati alechem. V'kashtem oti v'satem, look for me, pray to me, Want me to return, and you'll find me. I want you to look for me with all your heart. If you do that, I'll be there for you, Neum Hashem. I'll bring your exiles back, and I'll gather you from all the nations. Okay? And I'll bring you to the land that from the land that I exiled you from. Yirmiyahu now has to fight the opposite problem. When all the prophets are saying the Beit HaMikdash can't be destroyed, it won't be destroyed. They say, Echel Hashem, Echel Hashem. Let's say it is destroyed. What's going to happen? There'll be a mashbir. There'll be a crisis of belief that if it's true that God's house can't be destroyed and it is destroyed, maybe God did leave his people. Yirmiyahu has to fight another battle, that the people who are exiled don't give up hope, and they don't give up Judaism, and they know there'll be a future. Therefore, he tells them, don't worry, after the 7 years, there'll be time to return. You wait, prepare yourself, and when the time comes, I want you to return. When are those 7 years over? And we'll skip to H. When the prophets fed back, source G, we'll see next week. That's a lot of fun. That's a letter. They're going to send letters back. Yirmiyahu sends letters to Bavel saying, build houses. The rabbis in Bavel send a letter to Yerushalayim. Read it later on your own in G. It's so interesting. The rabbis, the prophets in Bavel, letters back to Yerushalayim saying, look at this letter we got from the rabbi in Jerusalem. Put him in jail. Who's getting him freedom of speech? He shouldn't be talking anything. Read it later on. It's so interesting. You see, there's mail going back and forth. There's politics going back and forth. But the rabbis in Bavel were telling the rabbis in Yerushalayim, the priests in Yerushalayim, don't let Yirmiyahu speak. We put you in charge. People like him shouldn't be given freedom. Because when the step over what the the first year of Koresh, the first Persian king, when Yirmiyahu learned that proof, Persian king to defeat the Babylonians, Koresh makes his famous decree that in Pasuk Bet, Komar Koresh Melech Paras, Komar Mechotas Natan Hashem Elohim Hashemayim, God gave me all the kingdoms. He wants me to build a house for God in Yerushalayim. Koresh, as we all know, gives the famous declaration allowing the Jews, actually requesting from the Jews and allowing them to return to Yerushalayim to rebuild their temple. He's also very realistic in Pasuk Daled. Anyone remaining in Bavel who doesn't go to Jerusalem to build a temple, they should send money and funding to help the Jews who make Aliyah. It's amazing that was written 3,000 years ago, just like today. Now, when Yirmiyahu's 7 years are over, what should happen? God promises, I'll give you an opportunity to return. Koresh, the first Persian king, allowed as a clearly in the hand of God, he allows the Jews to return. And some of the Jews make it. But anyone who knows the book of Ezra, that return gets off to a very poor start. Very few people come. It takes about 20 years to even begin working on the temple. There's a lot of trouble. And basically, it's going to take a long time until the Beit HaMikdash is built. Now, it just so happens that the story of Megillat Esther, which we're going to read in a couple of days, takes place during the reign of Ahasuerus, who's a Persian king, but not the first Persian king, is he? Ahasuerus, according to everybody, is after, it's definitely not before Cyrus, not before Koresh, but after Koresh. Meaning the third Megillat Esther happens after the Jews should have returned to build the temple. And what do we find instead? Instead of the Jews listening to Yirmiyahu's prophecy of what should happen after 7 years, yearning to God, wanting to return, taking that opportunity, instead we find this nation scattered in 127 provinces. There's this nation scattered all over, and they're not listening to the decrees of the king. And he says, and the king shouldn't even. There might be a hint there, and that's why I'll share Megillat Esther. You can read it online if you want. There may be a hint in the Megillah that the Megillah might not only be hinting to how God saves the Jewish people, might also be hinting to why they were almost destroyed. What did they do wrong to deserve to be destroyed by Haman? It could be there might be some connection between what's happening in the Megillah to the fact that the Jews didn't return in the time of Koresh to return to build the Beit HaMikdash, and all the midrashim about Ahasuerus' party being relating to the 7 years of Yirmiyahu, and all the things about the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash, the kelim shunim, and tons of midrashim to compare it with Shushan Purim and later with Purim in Yerushalayim. and all the nefochos, there might be something there where it could be that 70s of Yom, which was supposed to happen after the years of Yom Yom, may relate very basically to what's happening in Mikilat Esther. If you want details on that, you'll read the share on the website on Purim. That's this week's share. Next week we're going to go and see, we're going to continue these politics and how they develop, and we're going to see how we're going to go back to Yehoiakim, and we're going to begin to understand how the book of Yirmiyahu came about, and what works of Yirmiyahu were censored, what weren't, and we'll begin to understand why the book of Yirmiyahu is jumping from chapter to chapter with all these different topics, and we'll see a couple more points of these arguments among the prophets, and how what's happening in the time of Yechezkel is going to relate to what's happening in the time of Yirmiyahu. If you have any questions, I'll stay online for a couple of minutes. If not,
we'll.
I also highly suggest
that we're supposed to say in Gaula, and some people who, in theory, could have stayed in Israel. Oh, is that what Yirmiyahu is saying? In other words, the people in Israel could have stayed, but the people from the first Gaula would have to be stay in Bavel?
Yeah. The people in the first Galut are there for a while still. But the people in Yerushalayim could stay after Yehoiachin goes into Galut. The future of the Jewish people could be with the people in Yerushalayim. We're going to see that next week. That's exactly what we're going to start next week with Yirmiyahu Perek Chof Dalet. He's going to have a vision of, we're going to see in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel how each side views the other side. We're going to see each side has a different view of what's going to happen next and who's the future of the Jewish people. Or if we, in modern day terms, is the future of Jewish people in Crown Heights, or is it in, or I'm sorry, not Crown Heights, in Brooklyn, or is it in Jerusalem? What area, what population is on its way downhill, and which population is the future of the Jewish people for the future? And you might not like what you can hear next week. but we'll see that both in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, and we'll see in light of that one, decide a lot of different nevuot. Okay.
I'm still a little confused about the people saying Eretz Yisrael.
I didn't want to be anti-Chabad. I wanted to be anti. I was hitting Flatbush. Not
why? Like, what would be the benefit? Why would Hashem want them to submit to Bavel and stay?
Aha. Okay. That was I thought next week for sure. That's it's so hard to answer that question. That's exactly why no one listens to Yirmiyahu. But that's exactly what Yirmiyahu was saying. And that's exactly the first 7 chapters of Yirmiyahu, the first 10 chapters of Yirmiyahu, where the people think they're doing tshuva and the people aren't prioritizing the Jewish value straight. And he's been trying to tell that to them over and over again. They just don't seem to get the message. Right? They think that all God wants is to be fed and to be prayed to. They don't understand that the main thing he wants is their behavior to be a model nation and their day-to-day behavior. That doesn't mean he doesn't want prayer. He doesn't want korbanot, but they're mixing up their priorities. And their core values, they're overlooking, and they're just focusing only on ritual and not on social justice. And that's been a topic since, you know, from time immemorial. Yeah, that argument led to Christianity. That argument leads to this day. Okay? That argument leads to a Torah in motion. But what happened? Yeah, till we come back, that's such a big topic. That's what Hanukkah is about, the whole sovereignty thing. That's the whole topic. That's the next course. We have to do a course in Ezra and Nehemiah to see what's happening in the beginning of Beit Sheni. The beginning of Beit Sheni was such a disappointment compared to what could have been when you see the books of Haggai and Zechariah. This is the background to begin to understand Haggai, Zechariah, Megillat Esther. When you understand this political background and this, there's so much information here that helps you understand all the other works at the beginning of Beit Sheni. But again, it will take lots and lots of time. Maybe we'll touch on it in Shir number 5. Okay. Also relates to, we'll try to connect it all to Pesach at the end.
Okay, but why would being subject to Bavel teach
you? Anyway, I suggest that people I want you to read the sources we've been, read them inside, review them, see what's going on, try to get a feel for the rest of the book. And next week I'll try to send out the sources a little bit earlier. You can actually maybe read up on them ahead of time and give a little homework if you guys are interested in know. And we'll take it from there. Anyway, have a Tzom Kal this week and a Purim Sameach. And we should machmir on Matanas Levyonim and Mekil on Chayviz Nishul Besume. Okay. No, why it's better to under rule, that needs a whole share next week. Right? Why is it better to be under the rule of Bavel as opposed to being independent? I'll discuss that next week. That's the heavy question. Okay.
Have a good day, everybody. We'll see you around. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, we'll see everyone next week. Bye-bye.